Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking into the middle, it's flicked up, Aleko off the post! And back out to Osterman now, can he tee it back up again and across? He does, the deeper one this time, headed in by Lockhart! And a positive start from the Erics. It's going to come to field, can he take it on his left? Oh, it's bucked away now to strike from Lecco, which is cleared away again. And Charlton piling the pressure on the Forest. Up to Gallagher, he can turn here. Finds Lecco. Lecco lets the ball run, ball in box, Taylor's!
Inside to Cash, thinks about a shot, goes for it,
a grabber,
a shot, great!
Oh, what a tackle! What a
recovery challenge
from
the
Charlton
centre-half. There is the half-time whistle, a superb 45 minutes for the Addicts here at the Valley. Continued his run, Osolaja, chip ball in the box to Taylor, ball across, Case the touch, Taylor backwards to Lecco, over the bar! Just came at him quite quickly, Lecco couldn't quite get his feet in the right place to get it on target.
To be a goal. Corner in front of the scoreboard comes in. It's a deep one. Oh, it's ricocheting in the 6-yard box and slammed in by Adoma. Charlton didn't pick up the bouncing ball as it came in. On with you. I'd have had Chuck Sinike in that box, and Forrest have got an equaliser. 77 minutes into this game.
Well, you can't say it's been deserved.
You get there, no. Dawson clears it away. But that's the final whistle. It's finished all square here at the Valley.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley with a bottle of Aldi cider is Mr. Tom Welling. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, did you...
very well lubricated.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. On the tonight's show, we're going to look back at last night's enthralling draw with Nottingham Forest here at the Valley. And of course, we'll look ahead to Saturday's home game with Brentford. We're going to hear from Lee Bowyer and also from Jonathan Lecco after last night's game as well. So we've got a packed show for you this evening. We just heard the goals there from arguably the greatest Charlton performance of all time, Tom. Shame we couldn't win, really, because that first half last night was something special.
Yeah, I'm not the only one to have put it on Twitter that was the best 45 minutes I've seen Charlton play for possibly as long as I can remember. Certainly under Lee Bowyer, possibly even under with Roland as our owner. We were sensational. We were first to every ball. We were just quicker than they were. We were hungrier than they were. And they just couldn't get anywhere near us. I checked the stats about 20, 25 minutes in and the possession was something like 85%. It was absolutely ridiculous. And there was no way we were going to keep that intensity up for the full 90 minutes, particularly having played a hard game at the weekend as well. But you hope that maybe you'll go in at half-time 2 or 3 up. And obviously we did get a goal, but it was just the one. And you always felt Forest weren't going to roll over in that second half and they were going to come back into it, which they did. And as I say, we just had to drop our level just a little bit because players started to tire. But that first half on its own was just breathtaking. Like, it shouldn't be understated just how good that was, just because we only scored one goal, because it was, some of the football was just amazing. Like I say, they couldn't get anywhere near us.
I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, but if you would have told me a few weeks ago that we would be playing football like that in the Championship I mean, I would have laughed in your face. I mean, we're going to have to stop talking about the bookies' tags of being relegation favourites soon, because we're not looking anything like a side that's going to be relegated this season. And again, it's early days. Again, we didn't win the game. But, I mean, if we put in many more performances like that, we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, and there is a long way to go. But there has to get to a point in the season where you stop making excuses for the other team. So Blackburn, you could say, well, they'd only been promoted a year before us. Stoke come here and you say, well, they haven't really performed under Nathan Jones. Barnsley away, we didn't really have any excuses for there. Okay, we got out of it a bit lucky in the fact that it was the last minute, but we still got a point. And then Forest come in here. Again, we discussed on Sunday show, I think, about how they've been playing recently, but and how tough they found the start to the season, but they'd had some tough games. But that wasn't an excuse either. And if we end up playing everybody and we're picking up results like this, you have to say, well, maybe it's not the fact that the other teams aren't that good. Maybe it's the fact that really we can compete at this level. And that was just another game for me last night that did show that. And we've talked a lot about the signings we've made. I at no point thought those were going to be signings that were going to push us into the top six or maybe even the top half. And that might still not be the case. But they were very good signings. And they're a team that seemed to have gelled very, very quickly. And as you say, their ability to just keep the ball, just look so calm on the ball and assured. That was what I really enjoyed last night, was just people weren't panicking when they got the ball. No one was looking to just lump it forward. They just trusted themselves that there would be a player available, and they just seemed to step ahead of the opposition the whole time. And you're right, I think it's still very early days to know exactly what this team is capable of, but the way they're playing at the moment, there's absolutely no way we should be worried about relegation. But we are only four games in.
Mm. I mean, we saw so much at Barnsley on Saturday, long balls over the top to try and exploit that space in between their quite advanced fullbacks. I don't think we really saw that yesterday. Mm. Everything was on the floor, and nothing really summed that up more so than the goal that we scored in that first half, a 22-pass move put together. In the end, it ends with Otsuma playing it. It was Gallagher playing it down the line for Lecco. He lets it run across his body beautifully before whipping in the first-time cross, and Lyle Taylor, I mean, he hits that fourth goal in four games. We know that the CFC Facts and Stats account has been tweeting about the record now being that, you know, Darren Bent was the last player to do that, four goals in each of the first four games back in 2005. And I said to Bowyer last night, you know, Bent was very important to Alan Kerbridge's team, but Lyle Taylor is the talisman of your side.
Yeah, I think I just saw a stat as well that he's two goals off Clive Mendonca's record for first 50 games, but with a game left. So if he gets a hat-trick on Saturday, he'd overtake that. I mean, yeah, Taylor, we'll come to him in a second. But the build-up for the goal, I said to you just before we came on air that, yes, it's 22 passes, but six or eight of them were Naby and Perrington passing it between themselves. But you know what? That's part of the game. And
that's part of dragging your opponents 100% out of position, yeah.
Because you can see each time they make that little pass in between them, Forest players edge slowly further out and slowly further out. And then the last five, six passes, which are the key ones, are all within a split second of each other. They happen very quickly. They're very direct. They're still short, intricate passes. But it was similar to the goal we scored at Wembley, where suddenly, after passing it around a bit, we went bang, bang, bang with Aribo and a couple of the others. Taylor slotted it across and Perrington was there. Again, it happened here and the ball was into Gallagher. It was down to Lecco. The ball was whipped in and before you know it, it was in the back of the net. And yeah, I haven't seen a goal like that down here for a long time either. And it was just a perfect goal to cap off what had been a fine performance to that stage. And as I say, going back to Lyle Taylor himself, I mean, I think we all expected that he was going to be an important figure for us again, and we would need him to score goals in order to survive. But I don't think, certainly as me personally, I didn't expect him to score 4 in 4. It's a big step up for him. It's not that I don't think he had the quality, but he's unproven at this level. And he's just made it look very, very easy at this stage. I mean, his work rate yesterday and everything, just aside from the goal, was unbelievable. And given the week he had prior to the transfer window closing, you couldn't blame him if he'd, you know, shrugged his shoulders and been a bit grumpy. But he's got his head down, acted like a professional. I can't imagine we're going to have him for the whole season. Mm. But whilst we have got him, we've got to appreciate him. And at the moment, there just seems to be no stopping him.
Yeah, that's what Lee Bowyer said as much, didn't he, in his press conference after the game yesterday. It's going to be very, very hard to keep hold of Lyle Taylor after the January window. Mm. And I think he sounded pretty resigned to the fact we're probably going to lose him. But like I say, try and enjoy him while we can. I mean, we talk about the chances we had before we went a goal up on 18 minutes. We'd already hit the post inside 2 minutes. And then through Jonathan Lecco's header, that was touched onto the upright by the goalkeeper. Then we saw that chance for Conor Gallagher that was charged down. Then Lecco's follow-up was blocked. There was chances after that as well. I mean, it really was. I tweeted at half-time, my only complaint is that it's only 1-0. And then we were dealt a couple of reminders, weren't we, just before the break that, you know, whilst it's 1-0, Forest have got a chance. And we saw that shot that went over from Silva. And then, of course, that superb tackle from Tom Lockyer as the drive sort of fell into the path of Lewis Grabban. You know, it was just desperate that we didn't kill the game off and get perhaps a second or third goal that performance deserved.
Yeah, 100%. If we'd have gone in at 3-0, even maybe 4-0 up at half time, I don't think Forest could have had any complaints at all. And I took a screenshot of the stats on Sky Bet, I think it was, about 40 minutes, and possession was, I think, 79%, and dangerous attacks was like 70-30, basically double. We'd had basically all the shots. I think maybe they'd had one opportunity and it was off target. But then I took a screenshot again at half time, which I posted, and suddenly they'd had a couple more chances and 5% more possession. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a huge amount. But over such a short time frame, you could just see them just starting to kind of say, right, enough is enough. We need to get back into this game. And as I said earlier, it was clear that they weren't going to perform like that after the half time. And they were certainly improved in the second half, although I think even then we could arguably be disappointed that we only came out of it with a point. But yeah, second half Forest did improve. And like I say, we just started to tire in that second half. But there were just warning signs at half time, and it was all about how we tried to manage that. And as I say, I think in large parts that second half we did. And it was just that one slightly fortuitous goal that gave Forest their point.
Now let's talk about our new arrival, Aaron Otsuma. We were hearing on Sunday's show about he's a few weeks away from getting involved. Lee Bowyer did me there with the mind games as well. He lied to my face, how could he? But I mean, Aaron come in, and what a debut that was, and so lively. And you know, in him and Johnny Williams now, we've got two bloody good players in that position.
Yeah, I'm interested to see whether at some point Bowyer tries playing them twice, just to see if it'll work, and if so, how it'll work. But it's brilliant that we've got the ability to rotate in there, particularly with someone like Johnny, who hasn't played 90 minutes a lot. I think Bowyer said it himself that the weekend was the first time he'd done that for a long, long time. And we do need to be careful with him, because we all know what he's got to offer. But at the same time, he is fragile. We've seen that in his career. So we do need to be a little bit careful with him. And Otsuma came in, like you, I had no idea he was going to appear in the starting lineup. So that was a surprise. But just straight from the off, so energetic and so eager and willing. And again, like Taylor, that ability, or Johnny Williams, that ability to just close people down and harry people out. And he would just pop up in weird little places, down by the right back or the left back, pinching the ball back. He was just everywhere. I think there was one time when he lost the ball, and then he went and made a crunching tackle and won it straight back as well. So, I mean, you couldn't have expected that from a debut, particularly for someone who's been through the stuff at Bolton that he has over the past few weeks. You wonder how much they've been able to train and focus on their football. But it was just, yeah, refreshing to see. And if him and Johnny Williams can both stay fit and both keep match fit, more importantly, then it's so dangerous, so dangerous. And we're still going to need Lyle up in front of them, and for the moment we do, but there's so much attacking threat in that midfield. And you spoke on Sunday about how many goals we've got in this team, and the goal on yesterday came from Lyle Taylor, but that midfield has just got so many goals in it, I think. And we said we need a goal from Johnny, and I feel like that's coming. You'd imagine it. Otsuma's going to get a few as well. Gallagher's already got a couple. Lecco can't be far away, obviously hit the post. There's just goals throughout that midfield, and that's going to support Lowe.
Certainly. I mean, one thing we did see yesterday was the fact that Lee Bowyer was able to utilise his squad. Now, we knew that Solly was going to be out for Deji due to that concussion he got, and Deji obviously played very well. But, you know, Otsuma coming in for Williams was a little bit of a surprise. I think Benji did predict Williams coming out on Sunday show. But, you know, Sam Field coming in for Darren Prattley, he didn't really see that coming. And Jason Pearce going out for Naby Sarr. These are substitutions or changes we didn't expect to see. But it just shows Bowyer now has got that little bit of leeway in his squad to be able to change things around, when even last season, when we were doing quite well, I don't think he did.
Yeah, and I think the reason we were a bit blindsided by it or surprised by it is purely because of that, because we have never had the ability before. So you look at him and you think, well, he doesn't change his team much. Well, the truth is he's never been able to. And finally, he's got a squad. Any other manager would have been rotating like that on a Wednesday pretty much as standard, because that's what you do, because you manage your squad. The fact is that despite the fact we've been playing Saturday, Tuesday, as Bowyer says, we've never had the ability to rotate. And when we have rotated, it's just been because of injuries. But actually, at the moment, we're in a place where we've got a full squad. Naby was so vital to us last year, and obviously with Pierce's injury, got his chance. But Pierce is back now. Pierce has been playing. But that's, and I think Boya said it himself at one interview. It might have even been Sunday. I think somebody asked him about Naby, and he said, well, Naby started two of the games. He's done nothing wrong. I'm just rotating my squad. Similarly with the midfield, we've got, what, five or six players that can slot into three or four positions there. So we've got so many options, and it's difficult for people like Lapsley and Morgan, who are going to see less game time, you would expect. But at the same time, it's just brilliant, one, not to have to rely on them, because I don't think that was fair, but also to just have that quality throughout those positions to be able to go, well, do you know what, even Solly's injured, well, that's fine, we're going to put Deji in, who I thought had an excellent game yesterday. Same with Darren, you know, Prattley's an experienced player, he's played a lot of minutes. Well, for a Wednesday night, let's take him out and put Field in, and Field will do just as good a job. So, yeah, it's, again, so exciting to see. And again, I'll reiterate, we are only four games into the season. But from what I've seen of those four games, we've got a really exciting squad here, and a squad that's hungry and has that ability to rotate in fairly easily.
Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer said after last night's draw with Nottingham Forest. A few of you have tweeted in your views, which we'll come to after we hear from the gaffer. He came to speak to Terry and he admitted that he was gutted to come away with only a draw from the game.
Obviously disappointed not to get the 3 points. We thoroughly deserved it. Like you said, I said to the players at half-time, look, that's the best 45 minutes that I've witnessed since I've been here by a long way. What we done to them first half was frightening and great to watch. But we had to be more clinical. We could have been two up in the first 2-3 minutes. Should have been at least 3-4 up half time. Like the chances, they weren't like hard chances, that clear cut chances, you know, from a couple of yards out, 3 yards out. So, but if you don't take your chances, then you don't win games, and unfortunately we didn't take enough. Even second half, created some very good chances second half. Lecco's one over the bar, like a very good chance. I think some, I can't remember, there was another good one or two in the second half as well, but we broke and maybe picked the wrong option. But yeah, and obviously we died, we ran out of legs at the end. That's because of their work rate.
Was there a sense after coming in at half time, only 1-0 up, given that the last couple of minutes in that first half, Forest almost by a fluke got back on, could have got back on level terms? Was there a sense that that there might be something that we might get punished for not putting them to the sword in that first half?
Yeah, there's always that chance. Like it's fell to them in a set piece, and it's hit someone and just fell to them. Like it's not even. It's not like a well-worked one or anything like that. It's just a bit of luck, and that's all you need. But looking on the positive side, from start to finish, the players give me everything. I'm proud of them, every single one of them. The players that hadn't even started games for us before, Sam Field, Oz Tuma, both come in and was outstanding. So yeah, you got to remember, like a lot of players have come through the door and they're getting used to it. Like Lecco's not a striker, but he's doing well up there. You know, he's just getting used to things. We're changing the way they play and the way they train. Sam Field says, like, the intensity that we train at, he said, it's unbelievable. Like, he's trying to get, he had to come off, you know, and it's a young lad. So they're the ones that can keep going and going and going. Look at Connor. So, once it all does click in, like what you see there, I see that all the time. So that's why sometimes when I come in here and I'm a bit frustrated, then that's why, because what you've just seen, I see them play like that every day. 9 out of 10 days. But not only was I enjoyed the way we passed the ball, I enjoyed the way we pressed, and I said to him the three things. Whenever we go out before a game, I ask for three things, and tonight I said to him, when we lose the ball, I want you to press them properly, and they will give it straight back to us. And that's what they've done. The first 45 minutes, they just couldn't pass it because we just pressed them, then they just cleared it. That's why we had so much possession. Second thing I said, just move the ball quick. You move the ball quick, they won't get near you. We've done that as well. And then I said, enjoy it. Because if you do them two things, you're going to enjoy it. And they enjoyed it. Obviously disappointed that we didn't get 3 points, but if we keep doing that, then we will win a lot more games than we'll lose.
Came out of the stands after the game tonight, and looking at a lot of fans, speaking to a few fans, there wasn't one sense of disappointment. A small bit amount of frustration, but it's quite a bit of fans saying and looking and thinking, if we can replicate what we did in the first half, even partway through their second half, there are very few teams that are going to be able to live with us here, especially with the crowd backing us up. And I'm also thinking, 3 years ago, when we last played Forest in this stadium, it was a 1-1 draw, but there's no comparison between the side that that drew then and the side that drew now. People left 3 years ago utterly despondent. Mm. There are fans leaving this stadium today not despondent at all, and I think that's a testament to the way we're playing.
Yeah. You cannot enjoy what you've just witnessed there. The only reason why we couldn't manage that for 90 minutes because it's impossible. Because they've given everything. And I just can't knock them in any way, you know, from start to finish. They've done everything that I asked again. They're a great bunch, to work with. And we work so hard with them every single day on the training pitch from back to front. And I'm frustrated. I'm going to be frustrated leaving with a point. And that's how far we've come. Because Forest are a good side. They just battered Birmingham last week on Saturday. 3-0, which could have been 6, by the way, because I watched the game. So we'll all leave here with our head held high, but with a bit of disappointment, because that's how far we've come and what our expectations are, you know? And I get that. I'm the same. So, but if we keep doing what we've just done the last 4 games, then we're going to be fine.
You must be delighted to be in a position now where you can make 4 changes and still have that effect on the playing side. Mm. And then we're still 2 or 3 players not figuring that will come back into it and get fitter. It must give you and everybody in the team and the backroom staff a huge lift when we can call on those players as and when they're available.
Yeah, and like I've said before, our recruitment is always going to be massive with the budget we have. And again, I think our recruitment's been excellent. Like, we've took out John Lee Williams and we're putting Otsuma, like for like, none better than the other. We took out Prattley, we brought in Sam Field, like for like, you know, like, and then took out Piercy, brought in Naby. When we're now replacing people with people, it's not weakening us. So if we do, when we do get injuries and when we do get suspensions, we're still going to be as good as what we are today. We will be as good as that on Saturday and as good as we was last Saturday, because now, good competition for places. Like you said, we've got 2 or 3 more to come in, like the 2 Brighton lads. They're like a little bit behind on fitness, but they're 2 international players that are going to be pushing, knocking on my door, come on Gaffer, let me play Gaffer, you know, like. But it's competition. You have to work for your place, because these lads here, they give everything. So now these new lads that are coming in, they have to earn it.
Charlton's turn now to put Blackburn under a bit of pressure with some set pieces.
It's Forster Kakaski goes across to take. Williams is short. Gallagher is potentially offering another option as well. Forster Kakaski to swing this in. Pierce with the flick. Taylor with the flick. It's going! Oh, Taylor makes it 2!
You're listening to Charlton Live!
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on the big match preview on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards. We just heard there from Lee Bowyer. We also heard from last night's mascots, and we have to say a massive thank you to two of the mascots from last night, Elise and Sophie. You may remember Elise as being the one who liked to abuse us when we were trying to play the football game towards the end of last season. Yeah, but she has very kindly gone out of her way. Well, presumably her parents did, because I don't know if she's old enough, but to buy us some Aldi cider. So we actually have in the studio a bottle of Aldi cider that myself and Tom are drinking right now, which is why by the end of the show we might not be up to our usual high standards. That's debatable. But yeah, so thank you to Elise and to Sophie, who were last night's mascots for our Aldi cider. Are you enjoying it, Tom? Is it?
No, no. But very grateful.
It is quite disgusting.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. So I still can't understand how those lads on the train back from Blackburn were able to drink litres and litres of the stuff. But yeah, no, we're very grateful, Elise and Sophie, also James and Emma as well, for sorting that out for us. So thank you. You enjoyed being mascots last night. But you there. You can tell he's secretly, well, not even secretly, you can tell he's pleased. He's frustrated, but he's pleased. And, you know, you're not going to win every game. That's just a fact. So when you play that well...
It's not what you said an episode in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, I was getting carried away. That was before any Aldi cider. But you can see that you have to be pleased when your team's putting together a performance like that just four games into the new season. Because, I mean, someone pointed out in the press conference, I mean, this is... A lot of these players didn't play here last season. They have to sort of get used to each other. I mean, Aaron Zuma looked like he'd been here for years.
Yeah, I think what we have to kind of remember is if we'd have lost three of these first four games 1-1, we'd be saying, well, do you know what? That's kind of what we were expecting. But we haven't even lost a game yet. We're unbeaten. We're playing some really good stuff. Like we say, we don't know how long this is going to last, but you can only enjoy it while you can. And he's got every right to be pleased. I've got a mate at work who's a Charlton fan. I emailed him today and said, who'd have thought we'd be annoyed that we only got a point against Nottingham Forest four games in? But that's how I felt. And Tell in the interview there said that fans weren't leaving despondent. I just said to you, I wasn't despondent. I was disappointed that we hadn't got all 3 points. But in terms of the performance and everything, there was nothing I could complain about, really. And yeah, we're in a very, very good place right now. We've been in a good place for... best part of a year, you'd have to say, because last season it was pretty special. And Bowyer's got every right to be proud, because so much of this comes down to him. Obviously, recruitment, a massive part. And then it has to just be the coaching and the training, because you just think back to when he first came in and just take someone like Jake Forster-Caskey, because his first role was just with midfielders. And you look at the difference just in that one player he's had. And now he's got oversight of the whole team. And he seems to be having that influence on everybody. Someone like Lyle, Bowyer never played up front, but I know Lyle did well for Wimbledon, but look at the difference he's made to him. Look at the difference he's made to someone like Naby in terms of his confidence. Purrington starting to get forward more and attack more. There's just something about Bowyer that is just working. And we're very lucky to have him. We're very lucky that this scenario is playing out the way it has. And yeah, he's got every right to be proud of what's going on and just kind of... ride the wave for the moment and just, yeah, hopefully keep that momentum going.
Yeah, we had some emails in about last night's game. Mark Newbury, evening guys, thought we were outstanding last night and I wouldn't want the headache Bowyer now has with a lot of decent players and only so many spots available. We're going to have a headache tomorrow with this Aldi cider.
That's what I was thinking.
A bit naive to change at a corner, but if we'd taken the early chances, it's all over at half time and the teams at this level will punish you. Forest will be thinking, how did they go home with a point? But maybe it's a good early lesson for us. Yeah, I don't know if you hear the Forest manager on Radio Knots. And I can't repeat what he said on here, but he described their performance as below par, but not in as many words. We are still being written off as the so-called big boys head the table, but maybe with less pressure, we will flourish. Personally, I'd start Hemed alongside Taylor with Otsutuma behind. We have such a hard-working midfield. We can have the luxury of a fair flair player sitting behind the front two. But as I said, it's Bo's headache, not mine, fortunately. That's from Mark. Yeah, cheers, Mark. Yeah, just obviously some good points there, but I do want to pick up on... Obviously, he talks about the fact we made a double change at the corner. Sort of, a lot of people say it's a bit of a no-no. Do you think that really makes much of a change? I don't think we were going to make that sub, but then Forrest had a sub lined up as well that they decided to make at the corner. And then so we sort of just ended up going with it. Is that something you don't like to see?
I don't. It's very easy in hindsight to say I wouldn't have done it. But as the changes were being made, I thought, oh, because you could, I don't know, because I sit north lower, so I'm not close to the dugout, but to me it looked like they were debating whether to make those changes before or after, or hang on, and then, as you say, Forrest made theirs and they decided to do it. I personally don't think you should when you're defending a corner. Obviously, as an attacker, you do, because you think, well, if that person just pops up and scores, what a decision that is. But for me, defensively, you hold on and you wait and you do it another time. We might not have done it and still conceded, so I'm not blaming them for that and not saying that's the reason we conceded, but personally, it's not a decision I like to see.
Yeah, no one can really say that if we didn't make that sub, would that ricochet fall into Albert Adoma? Who's to say? Right, Jake gets involved. Hi, guys. Hope you're well. Well, that's 2 points dropped, in my opinion. I think the first half was the best 45 minutes I've ever seen at the Valley. The passing, the movement, and the way we controlled the game was stunning. Otsuma looks lively, and I thought Field also did a good job. We got struck down a bit by a bit of bad luck and it fell to them in the box, but I don't believe in making subs while defending our own corner. And Anike looked very lacklustre and disinterested when he came on. Also, the challenge on Deji in the second half looked like a red card from where I was sitting. Oh well, on to Brentford. Yeah, there was a couple of challenges that raised a couple of questions. Yeah. Now, I've only seen actually the replay of Sam Field's one on Sammy Abiobi, where he does win the ball but then his follow through does catch the former Newcastle man quite high. Now, the same player, Abiobi, did one on Deji, which was right on the far side of the pitch to where I sit, and I haven't actually seen a replay, but at the time a lot of people saying it may well have been a red card itself. So two challenges there that left a few questions to be answered by the referee.
I think I didn't really see the Sam Field one at the time, but I think if having seen them both back, if they'd have both been red cards, I don't think we'd have could have had much complaints. The Amiobi one at the time, I was surprised he only got a booking. To me, it looked late, clumsy, no attempt really to play the ball. That looked very dangerous. The Sam Field one, as you say, he does get the ball, but unfortunately in the modern game, he goes over the ball and could have done some serious damage to Amiobi. So again, if that had been a red, I could really have any complaints, although I would have been annoyed because I don't want to see challenges like that punished that way because he gets the ball. But like I say, that's the game we have now. So yeah, it was a feisty game, but again, just shows another side of this team, you know, prepared to put themselves about. We mentioned the lock your tackle earlier. Like I said, Otsuma won the ball back a couple of times. Cullen, we know, is good for that. So these are players that are prepared to do the dirty stuff as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, Sean Pierce emails in. Hi all, firstly, and it's an amazing show. You all talk a lot of sense and really sum up the community spirit that surrounds our great football club. That's very kind of you, Sean. Thanks for that. Just an interesting thought, not to defend Roland, as he is a right so-and-so, but in some ways, I think him not giving us any money to spend is actually working in our favour. I think it forces Boya, Jacko and Gallen to put more thought into who we get in and ensure they are the right players for the squad. If you look at Fulham last year, they threw loads of money at players with no real thought on how they would play together. Also, the players we get have all got something to prove and to play for that, not just for the money. I appreciate it isn't a long-term plan, as it means we'll have to start again each season, but I do think there is something in not spending lots of money on players just because you can. If Boya gets funds in the future, I think his current situation has taught him a lot about the art of bringing in the right player. Anyway, awesome show, boys. Keep up the good work. That's Sean. Cheers for that, Sean. Yeah, interesting point. I mean, obviously, we know with the budget that we had that we did have to bring in this type of player. We talked about at the start of the season, you know, the young and hungry ones coming out from League 1, League 2, and then getting the right loanees, and Bayer's done it 2 seasons in a row now.
Yeah, I think that there's a really good point in that email, which is, for me, and I think it's been proven by Bayer's signings over the last 2 years, the character of the player as well as the quality is absolutely essential. You have to get the right style of player in, the player with the right mentality, so completely appreciate that. I also think the hungry players, the players that do have a point to prove, again, completely behind that. I know he said there he's not defending Roland. I think the fact we have to do that, it remains an issue. If Boya chooses to do that, then brilliant. And also the second point is the fact that we're just not paying those players enough money, so that when we get to January, Lyle Taylor probably is going to leave. He's hungry and he wants to perform, but the truth is, if he can get more money elsewhere, he is going to go. And that remains a sticking point. And until Roland's prepared to offer the players that are here better contracts, you would think you've still got someone in Boya who is going to make sure those players are hungry, and someone in Gallen who is still going to get the right type of characters. But you've also got to pay them correctly for the job that they're doing. And if you don't do that, then they are just going to leave. And that pool of players of that talent is only so big. You know, we've had to get I say had to get, I'm pleased that we have, but we've got the players like Josh Cullen and Ben Purrington back. If we hadn't, who are those other players out there? Now, I'm sure there are some, but like I say, it's the sort of player that everybody would want. So I think Boyer is a massive pull for those sort of players, definitely. I also think that not just throwing millions at it is also, you know, a good thing. And we've said that about Roland since day one. We're not wanting an owner to come in and throw millions and millions and millions at it. We want an owner that's going to give us a chance to compete. I don't feel that this owner is giving him a chance. I feel that Boyer is working miracles with what he's got. But I completely support the point that the players with good character that want to impress, that have some drive and are hungry to succeed, is absolutely essential.
Certainly is. Right, Adele's cleaned her pipes out and sung this tweet to us. Wow, what a first half last night. The boys were amazing and the covered end was rock and roll on Saturday. Yeah, and then Vital Cholton on the atmosphere as well. The atmosphere last night was amazing. The first half was just pure brilliance. I love when Zuma got on the ball. He looks like a very exciting player. I can't wait to see what else he's got to offer. And then Gnarly Prince says, unbelievable outing from the boys last night. Otzuma looks incredible. Lecco just needs that end product. And massive props to the ever-brilliant captain, fantastic Lyle Taylor. This league will punish missed chances. And that's all it was last night. Otherwise, it was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, Lecco, he did get an assist last night, of course, which was great to see. And, you know, there's definitely more end product there than, like I say, comparing to Callum Harriott, because he was one we were looking at. But, you know, with Callum, his timing of the pass isn't always right. And obviously, that's going to be the same with Jonathan. Sometimes he ran into a little bit of traffic. Half the time, he seemed to get past him when he needed to. But there's definitely an out ball there, which I can see, which I think he's very promising. I think we should hear from him, actually, since we've just bigged him up. Jonathan Lecco came to speak to the press yesterday, spoke to Terry mainly. He admitted that the hard work that his side had to go through yesterday has taken its toll a little bit on him himself.
Yeah, I feel a little bit on my ankle. First half, we were just pressing. Like, we're trying to press as high as we can, so, yeah.
The first half performance that you look back on it now must give you and the whole side a real positive feeling that we can come up against a good Forest side and do that to them.
Yeah, definitely, like, we popped them, like, couldn't get nowhere near us, literally. Could have been, like, 3 or 4 up first half, so, yeah, we were really happy with that.
Is the overriding feeling out there in the changing room that a bit of disappointment that we couldn't carry on and win the game?
Yeah, a bit. Like, I was a bit disappointed, but our performance was good, but we're a bit disappointed we didn't get the win. Like, we should have finished it off, like, first half, so, yeah, a bit, but was happy with the performance, so, yeah.
Couple of chances yourself that just didn't quite sit for you, especially the one in the second half, just bobbled as you went to hit it.
Yeah, the one, it just bobbled up. I still should score though, but yeah.
A lot of Charlton fans have seen you for the first time tonight, and maybe certainly for the last few games will have seen what you bring to the side, pace and that willingness to win the ball back when you haven't got it. And is that something that's been instilled in you since you got here?
Yeah, definitely. Like, Gaffer has been telling us to press high, and like just as soon as we lose the ball, try and press it, try to win it as quick as possible. So yeah, definitely just trying to do that for the Gaffer.
It's a question you probably answered already, but your decision to come to Cheltenham Athletic was now I'm hoping you feel it's a good one.
Yeah.
What were your aims when you decided to come to
Cheltenham? I just wanted to play football, to be honest, get game time and to try and score. Set up goals. So yeah, it was an easy one. As soon as I spoke to the manager, it was an easy decision. Just
and feeling in the dressing room generally, apart from disappointment tonight,
we're positive. Yeah, we're all positive. So yeah, it's good.
What targets have you set yourself? I mean, I know that other than you just want to play, but have you set yourself any other targets for the season?
Just to score and to set up goals, which I think I've got like 2 assists already. So I just need to score now, really, yeah.
You've been playing slightly wider than centre position. Is that a position you like playing, or would you prefer to be more central?
I don't really mind. As long as I'm playing, I'm happy.
And keep the pace and the going. I mean, you're certainly worried that Forest defence in that first half.
Sorry. It's not me. Sorry. Yeah.
You must have felt, as with the rest of the team, that you certainly had Forrest on the ropes in that first half. Especially.
Yeah, definitely. Like the centre back kept on dropping off, so I knew I had the beating of him already. So I just thought, just getting behind a lot.
And your thoughts on the Valley, second time we played it, so rocking tonight.
Yeah, the fans here are crazy. Well, not like that, but in a good way, like they're all chanting everywhere, every second, every moment of the game. So yeah, it's good, I like it.
Well, it's a feel-good factor that's certainly carried on from last season, and with performances like that, you'd expect it to carry on the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Well done on the performance tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
John, I just wanted to ask you about Lyle and what it's like to play with him. He seems, you know, captain tonight, and he's an experienced striker at this level. What's he like to play with?
Yeah, he's good to play with. Like, I try to learn a bit from him. He's always giving me advice and stuff. So, yeah, he's good to play with. I like him.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers header, and it's Charlie!
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty!
Woo! Dreamland!
Charlie has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom! Get in! Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live, the big match preview here on your Thursday evening. Just heard there from Jonathan Lecco, the West Bromwich Albion loanee. Now he's a player who he left his phone on in an interview, which was quite funny, but you get the impression that half the time, and Boyer said it himself, he doesn't know what he's doing, which makes him so exciting and so unpredictable, and he baffles defenders at times.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, but not in a hapless way, but it is in a slightly hapless way, but he seems to come out the right side of it more often than not, so it's not frustrating as a fan. It's actually really exciting. I just said to you off air there, he got the ball one time last night. He had about three or four players around him and then really tight to him, so the natural thing for a winger to do at that point, it might have been from a throw or something, is to just go knock it back to your right back. But even in that sort of position, he turned round and tried to drive forwards, and it's not going to work out every time, but more often than not so far, and I know it's only been three games he's played for us, it has come off, and he just looks so exciting when he gets the ball. He looks like he knows how to get past a player. He can whip a ball in, as we obviously saw last night. He can take players on. He's just so direct, and he said it himself there. He just needs a goal. I think he's being a bit harsh on himself, giving himself a little bit more time to bed in, but you've got to feel like a goal is coming, and once it does, you'd think he'll be up and running as well. But yeah, such a good addition and another great bit of business.
Now, Mike Harrington DM'd me earlier, said, I've had a season ticket for well over 30 years now, and when you stop to consider the club's circumstances, the budget and the constraints on the player signing, I think that first half against Forest was right up there with the best half I've seen us play. Cracking, concise passing with real purpose. Congratulations to Lee Bowyer and co. It was absolutely superb. Yeah, and I agree with you there, Mike. Mike, thanks for your tweet in as well. Yorkshire Attic says Lecco Defo needs to turn his phone off before interviews. Yeah, he did say Defo a lot as well. But no, I like the chap. He was, I think he was nervous. As he was walking out of doing the interview, he sort of turned to Ollie Groom, the club's media chap, and said, oh, that was really scary. But I mean, I've had to deal with speaking to Terry Smith as well, and it is quite intimidating at times.
It?
Yeah. Maybe someone was phoning him to try and rescue him. Right, we did have some good news, actually. Plenty of good news going around at the moment, but we did have some before the game against Nottingham Forest, in so much that we've actually got Tommy Ahmed now. He's actually arrived. It was great to see him finally get his deal over the line. We'll just hear from Lee Bailey, because I wanted to know if he could tell us a little bit more about how it actually happened, because there was still this major delay that's been pretty much unexplained. He doesn't really say what, but he does have some thank yous to say for the Tommy Hemed deal finally getting completed.
I don't know. All I know is at Brighton, worked really hard to make it happen, and it finally happened. So I didn't ask too many questions. All I care about is that now the kid is coming and he's training with us, and he's our player. That's all I care about. And obviously I want to thank Brighton for all their hard work into making this happen. So, yeah, that's the most important thing now. The kid can start training and playing properly, you know. So a little bit behind fitness, but we'll soon bring him up to speed.
So there we go. Bo, you're saying that Tommy Hemed, starters, he's thanking Brighton for getting that deal over the line. So whatever they did, I'm sure the club are grateful. We didn't really go into what the delay was. I'm getting the impression we won't find out. But it doesn't really matter now he's here. You know, as I said, I do think we should be awarded 50 bonus points because we missed out on him for two games. But, you know, he's here now. He's saying he's not fit. He said that about Azuma, so I'm expecting him to start up top on Saturday. But, you know, I feel like that's a signing that sort of just puts the cherry on the top of what's been a very impressive transfer window.
Cake. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's another great bit of business. We said that at the weekend when we were hoping he was going to come in. He's one of those experienced players. You know what he can do. His relationship with Kale, who we also haven't seen yet to come in. They would know each other very well. They've played together plenty of times, so that's going to help. Yeah, really exciting player. And again, we just have to recognise that this is actually a very decent squad we're building here, and there's still a hell of a long way to go in terms of this season, but two more players still to come in, more rotation, you'd have to say. We've got games coming thick and fast over the next few weeks. It's just such an exciting time to be a Charlton fan, and I know we're probably going on about it far too much for four games into a season, but we've been starved of this for far too long, and I think we deserve a little bit of time in the sun. And I think the vibe that I'm getting from the crowd and from the people emailing and tweeting in the show is just that everyone's just trying to enjoy it while it lasts, which is absolutely the right attitude to have, because we don't know where we're going to end up this season. We don't know what's happening with the sale of the club or whatever, but Wembley in particular has just given everyone such a lift, and the performances this season have carried that on, and it's just about enjoying it now. That's what being a football fan is all about. There are people here 2-3 years ago when we were in the depths of League One, really struggling, and look where we are now, and people who've ridden that out. You know, we deserve this. We've earned it, we've deserved it, and it's just a time to enjoy it for me.
And the Aldi side is taking effect on Tom there. He's gone all positive on us.
Going to start crying.
And on Hemed himself, you know, he was at QPR last season on loan. I think he got 7 goals, which wasn't a bad return for the amount of games he played, although he wasn't actually that popular with the QPR supporters, who admittedly have had a difficult couple of years of it. A decent goal return, though, for me. And I think he comes in here as if he's back up to Taylor, if he plays alongside him. You know, again, we've got options now in that forward line. You know, Leko can play up there. Of course, we've got Macaulay Bond. Of course, we've got Chuksunike, who I do like the look of so far.
Same.
We've got options there, haven't we?
Yeah, and just having a quick look through his goal stats at all of his clubs. Give or take, he's around 1 in 3. Obviously, Taylor's 1 in 1, so he's going to be back up to him. But yeah, 1 in 3 is okay as a striker. You probably look for 1 in 2 for a really good striker, but who knows? You know, Jan was, I don't know what he was before he came into here, and look how well he succeeded. So you'd have to say you've got to base it on his previous, which is pretty good. The fact that Boya wanted him, and the fact that Boya will get something out of him, the fact that Steve Gallen has identified him, all of those things tick to the fact that it's very unlikely he's going to be a bad signing or a flop. He is going to have to be patient and bide his time, because as you say, certainly for this first part of the season, Lyle is going to be up there unless we decide to go with two up top, which for the moment I don't see happening. Certainly not two traditional strikers, if you like. So he's going to have to be patient and just take his chance when it comes. But again, a very exciting player, and takes some of the heat off Lyle in terms of having to play week in, week out if we do want to rotate up there as well, like we've been doing in the other areas. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see him pull on the shirt and get out there. As you say, probably will end up being Brentford now, but if it's not and it's a couple of weeks' time, then yeah, just looking forward to him getting started.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's start to have a proper look ahead to Saturday's game with Brentford in a few seconds' time. I just got to remind you, though, on Sunday, the Charlton Athletic women's team are finally kicking their season off. They've got a home game against Lewis at 1 p.m. kickoff over at the at Crayford at the at the Oakwood, where VCD play, if you know that. Had such a successful season last year, hoping to build on that. There's been a lot of turnaround there, some interesting departures. Kit Graham's left, obviously a very big player for them. Lots of players coming in as well. So, yeah, it'd be a great chance to see how Ratisha's side get on. You know, hopefully another push for promotion this year. So it's a 1 p.m. kickoff over there on Sunday, over at the Oakwood. I'll be there, so we'll have some reaction to the game against Lewis on Sunday evening's Charlton Live. Hopefully it'll be a winning start. They did start the season against Lewis 2 or 3 years ago, I went to, and they beat them like 6-1. So I'm expecting more of the same, please, girls. Right, the men's team, Brentford. Bees, obviously, you remember 6-7 years ago, they're a smaller club than us, but it's funny how things turn around, and they've been an established championship club now, a forward-thinking established championship club. Obviously, they're in their last season at Griffin Park, so our visit over there, I think around Easter time, will be our last, unfortunately, which is a shame, because I like that. I like that little ground. But, you know, they're a side that finished, I think, 11th last season, just 10 points off the playoff places. They've been in and around those sort of playoff places most seasons in the Championship. Not off to the best of starts, but you know a side like Brentford are going to be a canny side, and they're going to be, again, every game's going to be tough, but they're going to be tough to face on Saturday.
Yeah, and again, I don't think we can just accept the fact that because they've had a bad start, they're going to struggle, because, as you say, they're a canny side. We've had to make the step up. They lost last night to Leeds, but it was a late goal.
Late one, yeah.
And, you know, Leeds are going to be there or thereabouts, you'd have to say, at the end of the season. Look at their team, packed with a lot of quality. I think their midfield in particular looks good. And people like Pontus Janssen at the back, you know, an experienced player. Ollie Watkins, I think, was at Pompey last year. Another experienced, good player. So, yeah, I mean, they're a good side, no doubt about it. It's not going to be a rollover, but, you know, local ish derby. I'm sure they'll bring a lot of fans over. The atmosphere here already this season, I've been so impressed with the atmosphere here. You know, Boya says it week in, week out, but honestly, the noise that the fans are making is just incredible. It's a really intimidating place for away teams to come. You throw a few thousand Brentford fans in the other end, it's going to be a really good spectacle. And if we can just keep calm and play our football, rotate a couple of players in again, then we've got nothing to fear for sure. But it's definitely not going to be an easy game, but I mean, you can clip that and play that for every game we've got this season, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ollie Watkins. He was the man who scored there in their only win so far, which was away at Middlesbrough. So they have done it on their own. Like, so they went to Leeds last night, and by the sounds of it, probably a bit unlucky to come away with a defeat. So we know that they're going to be a difficult sort of nut to crack here at the Valley. Their manager, Thomas Frank, is an interesting... Again, it's one of those ones, he seems to... It took him a while, perhaps, to get his philosophy over last season. But I think Brentford will do quite well this season. I think they... So by the sounds, when they lost at home to Birmingham on the opening day, they absolutely battered them, hit the bar about five times, and somehow lost. So they're traditionally slow starters, Brentford, and I'm sure they'll be a difficult one to crack. Now, of course, from a Charlton point of view, Lee Bowyer... came again. This is sort of still part of last night's interview, really. But he was kind enough to preview the game for us after, you know, rotating the squad for the visit of Forest last night. He's more than ready to do that again for Brentford on Saturday.
Yeah, obviously, I'll make changes. I have to, because you just see what they've just given me out there. We've got less than 48 hours to before we go again. So there's not much recovery. Playing on a Wednesday is a bit of a tough one, I think, to then go again on Saturday because of this night game as well. Now the players probably won't get sleep till 2-3 in the morning. Then we've got a train in the morning. Train tomorrow, play. There's not much recovery. So, yeah, I'll have to make some changes for sure because they can't even walk, I bet, because that's the way they looked at the end of the game. So, but, yeah. I'm going home, and believe it or not, we've got a point, but I'm happy.
Well, third place in the Championship. So 3 years ago, somebody had said that's likely to happen against the Forest side as well that we played then. I don't think too many people would have believed us. So it's progress without question. Any chance of the injured players figuring for Saturday, or are we still a bit too far away for that?
Who's that, Solly?
Solly, you got Lewis, Tamir.
And I don't know what's happening with Lewis. Tamir, Tamir's back training. Mm. Fitness wise, obviously we're working on his fitness. Obviously Solly, that's with the doctors and all that. I'm not involved with that. He's got to have tests every day, and it all just depends on the test, how he goes with the tests.
Paige, I don't know what's happening with Paige. I've said to the physio, when he's fit, let me know. So it's a difficult situation for Paige at the minute. I don't know. One minute he's got this injury, and then he's got a different one, so it's tough.
And just finally from me, I said it before comms today, and probably going to say this a lot. We come up against another Championship side, Brentford, here on Saturday, and pretty much every time we'll say, oh, this could be our toughest test yet. And that might happen every single week as we face these Championship clubs.
Yeah, but they're all going to be tough. But like I keep saying, if we keep doing what we've done for the first four games, nothing's going to change. We're going to work hard every game. The players are going to give me everything every game, and we're going to try and play football and create chances. And we will do all them things every single game. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck to go your way, and tonight it didn't. But Saturday it might.
There we go, Lee Bowyer. Just a brief look ahead to Saturday's game with Brentford. I think obviously he'll be doing his press day on a Friday this week, purely because it wouldn't make any sense. The last thing at night he does is a press conference after the game, and then the first thing he does the next day is a press conference ahead of the next game. But yeah, so obviously changes will be afoot again. Again, the glory of having a bit of manoeuvrability within the squad. So Johnny Williams will come back in, and he'll be eager to pick up where he left off really against Barnsley. You know, probably a bit quieter than normal when he came on last night, actually, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, but against Barnsley, he was all over the place in a good way. Like, he was so busy for us, and he created chance upon chance upon chance, and he'll be chomping at the bit to come back in.
Yeah, I think last night he was just unfortunate in that he came in a period where Forest were probably having their best spell of the game, which still wasn't a brilliant spell by any means. And then they also doubled up on him immediately. So he was a bit of a target from minute one, which I think we've got used to by now. But yeah, I just, when he came on, I had a really real feeling he was going to score, because he still hasn't scored yet. I know he's got a couple of assists already this season, and no, absolutely no disrespect to him, he's my favourite player in the team by a mile, and he's been absolutely brilliant. But I just feel, I just want him to get that goal, more for him than anything else, really. So I feel like that's coming. As you say, he's going to be keen to get back in that side and show why he deserves to stay there. But I, as I say, I think those two players are going to rotate. I think there'll be changes across the team as well. Sam Field didn't do anything wrong, but I wonder if Prattley will come in. I said to you off air that by the end of that game, Gallagher was as an absolute passenger. He was just having to just jog around, basically, just because he was so knackered. And we have to remember how young he is, and he's played two games in 5 days as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a bit of a rest at the weekend. So again, the ability to rotate is just is pleasing, but also essential if we're going to be playing these games, you know, high intensity games every week and a couple of times a week. So yeah, just it's so pleasing that we're able to make those changes.
And also we've got the difference this year whereby, because, you know, Sky Sports show every Championship midweek game, they split some of them between the Tuesday and the Wednesday so they can show them all across the red button service. Now, that means that we're playing on a Wednesday and a Saturday rather than a Tuesday and a Saturday. Now, so obviously you get a day extra before the midweek game, but it feels like a very quick turnaround. Yeah. Because literally the game was last night and we're already back here previewing the next game. So it feels like a very quick turnaround. And you can imagine that is going to add to the fatigue for the players out there.
Definitely, yeah. And given that they were already fatigued from about 65 minutes onwards yesterday because of just how intense that first half was, I wouldn't be surprised to see quite a lot of rotation again. But like I say, you're not taking out someone like Sam Field and throwing in, again, with absolutely no disrespect, someone like Albie Morgan, who is young, who Bowyer wants to be able to send out on loan. We're not having to throw him in. And as I say, absolutely no disrespect, because when Albie has come in, he's for his age in particular, he's been absolutely brilliant. But we're able to bring someone in like Darren Prattley or someone with more experience. Similarly, as I said, Johnny Williams and Otzuma, two absolute quality players at this level that we're able to just rotate. If Gallagher goes out, maybe you're looking at someone like a Jake Forster-Kaski perhaps coming in. Maybe Lecco drops back a little and you play someone else up with Lyle. So there's just so many options in there. There's a lot of different people who can kind of rotate in. So, you know, as I think, I don't know if it was you or Terry said earlier, it's going to be a selection headache for Bowyer, but it's a nice headache to have and a nice problem to have. Obviously, I haven't got that much time to train on things now, so it'll be just a case of checking who's fit, probably working on some systems and looking how Brentford play, and then throwing another 11 out there on Saturday who, like I say, it's not going to be an easy game, but I think any 11 that he puts out are more than capable of winning that game.
Do you think, like, someone like Lecco, of course, who tends to tire around the hour mark and seems to, last couple of games has been swapped over, or last three games really has been swapped over for Chucks and Ike. Can you see that being one? Because I'll say I've liked Chucks. He wasn't his busiest on Wednesday evening against Forest, but I've liked him when he's come on in games. He obviously scored that goal at Stoke as well. Do you think he'll be sort of knocking on the door for a potential start here? But Lecco at the same time has been so good. So yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it?
I think someone like Lecco would feel unfortunate if they lost their place, but at the same time, again, if he's knackered, then keep him, because if he's got maybe 10-20 minutes in the tank, then what an asset to bring off the bench when Brentford's defence is starting to tire at the end of the game. I think I've really liked Anika. I thought obviously he got that goal against Stoke, which helped, but I think he's been brilliant every time he's come on. He looked dangerous again yesterday. A couple of times he picked the ball up and drove forward and no one could get anywhere near him. You've got someone like Macaulay Bon as well, who, okay, hasn't got the experience at this level, a bit more untried or untested, but again, someone who you might choose to bring off the bench. As I say, you've got the likes of Lapsley and Morgan as well. You've got Jake Forster-Kaski. There's a lot of options there. So
excellent stuff. Right, let's have your prediction very quickly.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 win.
Lovely stuff. That'll do me as well. Right, so this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. We've already run out of time. The show has absolutely flown by this evening. That will be the Aldi Cider talking there, thankfully. Thanks to Tom Wanning for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast app to make sure you get our show downloaded automatically to your phone or to your device twice a week. Right, let's hope that Charlton can pick up all 3 points against Brentford on Saturday. We'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at what happens. We're looking forward to seeing you then. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.